The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of ladies in the studios today. Our guests are from the Harbor Beach Lighthouse Preservation Society. We have Shelley Bomer and Heather Leggetts. I hope I said that right. And we're going to be talking about a big birthday celebration for the Harbor Beach Lighthouse coming up a little later this month. Thanks for being with us, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
All the events happen when?
July 18.
And that is a Saturday?
That is, Saturday, July 18th.
And basically, it's a full day of activities, as I understand it.
It is. We start out in the morning from 10 to 4. We have our lighthouse tours, which are guided tours.
And I imagine because of the festival that day for the birthday, things are probably filled up pretty quickly for those. A lot of people are going to be in town for the rest of the events.
Absolutely. Actually, we do a lot of online booking of our tours now. Mm-hmm. And for that day, we have approximately 102 slots that are available for tours.
Oh, so they
and
still can
we,
do that?
No.
Oh, that
we
they're...
are, as of this morning, we have 51 of those slots that are filled. So if you want to tour the lighthouse on that day, better go online and make your reservation and harborbeachlighthouse.org and get your space.
Don't count on there being space the day of. You might
there,
be.
You might luck out if we don't have a full boat going out at the time that you happen to walk up, but chances are you need to make your reservation ahead of time.
Because this type of event, a birthday celebration, 130 years, this is going to bring out not just the local people, but all over the state, the country. People are so into lighthouses. This is the type of event they like to come to. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of communing with other people who have the same interest.
Yes, absolutely. We have people coming from Ohio, Wisconsin, Maine, out
Vermont.
East, Vermont, lots of different locations and that have booked tours. So
now you've got a lot of the events are down at the beach, but you've got some other things going on. You've got yourself a quilt show for the lighthouse coming up.
We do. We have a quilt show from 10 until 3:30, and that will be held at the community house. We have a number of quilts coming depicting different types of lighthouses, and we are also raffling off a beautiful quilt that's been made by the quilters in Harbor Beach, and tickets are still available for that raffle, and that raffle will take place down at the beach at the end of the things that are happening, at the end of the activities.
And is that something you need to be there to win?
No.
Type of thing? Because sometimes people, you know, they come and they see some things and then they have other family commitments or kids and they got to take them home.
No, there's no need to be there during the raffle or when the ticket is drawn. We will make sure that if the person that wins is not there, they will obviously get the quilt.
They'll be notified and you make arrangements,
we'll make arrangements.
How to
yes.
get it to
and
them.
It is a beautiful quilt. And that will be available to look at down at the beach on the 18th.
Any picture on the quilt? I mean, is it of the lighthouse? Is it of other things in Harbor Beach? Or
there
just
are,
a beautiful... Because I've seen the ladies around here make quilts, and they come out just beautiful.
The center of the quilt is the Harbor Beach Lighthouse.
Ah, okay.
So it is beautiful.
And pictures are available online. Of it if you go online. And you go to the birthday celebration menu and drop down to the quilt, and you will be able to see a picture. But I have to tell you, the picture does not do it justice. It presently is hanging in the lobby area of the Harbor Beach Library. So if you want to see it in person, it's quite an amazing sight.
And
it is a king size.
King size quilt.
King size. Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of times, you know, you see these quilts when you go out to garage sales or something, and they're nice, but they won't anywhere fit a modern bed. But the ladies made sure of it this time.
Yes.
For you.
Yes, beautiful.
And it was, as Heather said, it was donated by, they've got a pretty unique name, so we have to mention that. They call themselves the Stash Pile Quilters.
Oh. They keep a stash pile of good material to make their quilts from, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not a quilter.
They meet once a week and for a whole day and quilt.
And their show will feature other subjects of their work?
Yes, mostly lighthouse-themed quilts. We have a number of quilts coming from all over, and we are accepting more quilts to be displayed.
Now, these other quilts, these are possessions
yes,
of someone's.
They're just for display.
They're just display. There's mm-hmm. not a raffle. There's not, no. You're not going to be able to, I want to buy that, you know, that type of thing. Or, you know,
just for display.
Just for display, yes. But beautiful nonetheless.
Yes.
Okay. It's also going to be a kids' parade, I understand.
Yes, starting at 10:15, we're going to have the children lining up for a kids' parade, non-motorized, because we're going to be using the walking path, the Harbor View walking path in Harbor Beach. Lineup will be at the west end of the marina parking lot, and we will have judging at 10 minutes to 11 by none other than Carl Jan, who is a lighthouse keeper portrayal. He dresses and portrays a lighthouse keeper. Pretty amazing guy. So then they will make their way down to the beach, led by none other than Harbor Beach's Raymond and Susan Bug, our strolling minstrels.
Okay, and you're confident in that time frame you can, like, you know, herding cats, get all these kids into a row.
Retired school teacher, yeah, we can do it.
Okay.
And then after the kids get down to the beach, we'll have some kids' crafts, making their own little lighthouse, and some coloring pages, and some face painting going on. So before the adult activities begin, or the other activities, I should say, in the afternoon. And the kids, as long as supplies last, those crafts will be available for the kids to make.
But it is not considered like, you know, daycare or something for the
nope,
kids.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, your parents need to be cognizant of where their kids are, all these types of things. And because most of the events later on are geared towards people who are into lighthouses, and kids are normally fidgety, and you'd have to judge whether your kid will be able to sit through it quietly and not be a disturbance, those types of things.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, and once the activities begin, all this is going to be going on right down at the park at the end of Trescott Street, the James H. Lincoln Memorial Park?
Absolutely.
Where you did all that beautiful renovation work.
It's
a great open space, and the walkway along the water and the beach and everything else. So you're going to have it all down there.
Yes. There's a big white tent. You're not going to be able to miss it.
You're not selling fireworks.
No,
no.
Not. during that day, though, there's another activity that's going on. So they won't be able to enter to the beach on Trescott Street because mm-hmm. the American Legion is having their cart race, their derby cart races.
Oh,
that
one's
that'll
really
be
go
on
downhill?
Trescott
yeah, okay.
during the morning and early afternoon. So visitors will have to enter to the lighthouse celebration down Court Street, and we will open up the parking lot area that's generally closed at this time for through traffic. We'll open up that so that you can proceed, and we will have parking available right over by our tent.
So watch for the signs. I'm sure you're going to put a lot of signs out and let people know where they need to pull in.
Yes.
Okay. Have you had a lot of interest in this? Have you heard from people who are saying, I'm going to be there type of things?
Oh, absolutely. We have been marketing this event for a year now. We have been putting information out across the state, and actually also listed on the U.S. Lighthouse Society's website. So there are people coming from all over for the event.
And you've got a lot of guest speakers. Do you want to
Absolutely.
Go over what
sure.
some of these people are going to be talking about and what time? So if people are interested in a certain type of topic, they'll be able to be around.
At approximately 12:30, we're going to have our welcoming by our Preservation Society president, and Skip Kadar and Buzz Hare are going to be there to welcome everybody and the guests, and then we'll get started right away with the first presentation we're going to see is a gentleman named Bob Kagaris. Bob is a television documentary videographer. And
you said that very well. It wouldn't come out like that for me.
Yeah. But Bob has traveled all over doing documentaries and has been on public television in the early 80s and is very renowned in his field. So Bob will be presenting a program that he just recently has done, and it's going to be taking the viewers from Detroit all the way around to Chicago from the early 1800s, and showing how the Great Lakes, the commerce along the Great Lakes, and will be showing how Harbor Beach was a very focal point where mariners had to travel through, and actually creating the need to have the lighthouse at Harbor Beach.
And the breakwall giving you the safe harbor for refuge.
Yes.
Because
and
there was, you know, once you were out on that lake, you had to know the spots you could get in quickly to if there was some nasty stuff coming
right
down the pike.
So his is entitled Safe Harbors on the Huron. And also Bob on that day is going to be traveling around. He is going to document the whole event and create a video for the Harbor Beach Preservation Society to have of the entire event. So there will be lots of footage taking.
So you're going to be talking about history, and it'll be history in the making with the video of what happens that day.
Absolutely.
At about 1:45 to 2:30, Robert McGreevy will be presenting a program on Hannah and her sisters. Bob is a marine artist and historian, and he's going to be talking about the Howard M. Hannah, which was a typical ship lost during the Great Storm of 1913. The one exception with the Hannah ship, was that all of the people survived. The ship went down off the tip of the thumb, but all of the people survived on that boat.
That's kind of a rare thing in those days.
Very much so.
You know, there was not a lot of rescue capability in those days. No helicopters, nothing like that. You basically had to rely on very gutsy people at life-saving stations to maybe be able to know you're in trouble and get out there.
And through their eyewitness accounts, Bob has been able to piece together what probably happened to those 25 ships that did go down during the Great Lakes Storm of 1913. And using period photographs and postcards, he traced her final voyage from Lorain, Ohio, until she ran aground at the tip of the thumb. So it'll be a very interesting program that Bob will be presenting. He's also created original artwork to fill in the missing gaps in the Hannah story.
Now, are you going to have like a big, you know, projection whiteboard or something for some of these pictures and stuff, or are people going to have to come up and view them? Because a lot of this information, you know, we're a very visual people. We like to see things and you know.
Most of our presenters will actually be using video that they have created.
Okay.
Through all of the pictures, so that will be shown on a screen.
Okay.
But also all of our presenters will have their information. They will have their own table set up within the big tent, so that if you want a copy of their presentation, so to speak, or a copy of a book or a copy of a picture that they have created, that will be available for a cost, of course, but that will be available that day from that artist. Or
so, as we've talked about Bob and Robert, they're going to be on hand through most of the day.
Yes.
At their tables after their presentation.
Right.
If you have further questions, they said something you didn't quite catch, or how did that really happen, because sometimes first time around doesn't give you a full catch of what's happening.
That's correct.
And he will have books and pictures available for sale there. He's authored and co-authored a number of books on the Great Lakes, including his Lost Legends of the Lake series. And he's also received numerous awards, including Historian of the Year from the Detroit Historical Society. So he's quite well known and is a wonderful added attraction to our festivities down at the park.
Are you going to have somebody riding shotgun? Because I know these kind of people, and they can talk a long time, and you've got a kind of tight time scale.
We have the shepherd's crook.
Yeah, we have a very long shepherd's crook. Yeah.
So it's going to be like the old vaudeville. Dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
We have talked to all of them, and they know we're going to give them some.
Because they're very passionate about the parts they know about, and they have so much they want to tell people, and sometimes 15 minutes just doesn't seem like enough.
Right. Then,
but the good thing about that is, if it's something that the person isn't necessarily, one or two people aren't interested in, something new is coming along pretty quick.
Right.
So, you know, you're not looking at a half hour, 45 minute talk that, you know, well, he's not really talking about the Harbor Beach Lighthouse in this instance. You know what I mean.
Right. Absolutely.
Things move quickly.
Right. Then at 2:30, Carl Jan, who is a lighthouse portrayer,
Is that a profession or a hobby?
Well, you know, I
think it's both
him,
for him.
Yes, for him, he would say both. Carl began this 20 years ago, and his story is that he just was out and needed a sweatshirt for his wife when she was chilly. It just so happened to be a lighthouse sweatshirt. And then he got interested in the lighthouses, and the next thing he knew, he bought himself a keeper's coat. And it's an original keeper's coat and a keeper's cap. And
that sounds extremely warm on a July.
Yes, it would be, although not lately.
We're hoping by the 18th.
We are hoping by the 18th it'll be warm. But he wears it and stays in character of a lighthouse keeper. He's going to be out at the light. He's going to be judging the children's parade. Then we're going to get him on the next boat out to the light. He will spend a few hours out at the lighthouse, and it's amazing when he stands up on the gallery as the boat is pulling up and you see this lighthouse keeper up there. It's pretty picturesque.
It's a full beard.
This sounds like selfie heaven.
Yes, you know, yes.
You've got a guy in full lighthouse attire, and you're at the lighthouse. Click, click, click.
Yeah,
and he loves to have his photograph taken.
Well, I would imagine you'd have to in that position.
Yes, but a great guy, so... He's going to be talking. And then we're going to have another musician.
At 3 o'clock, from 3 to 3:45, we are blessed to have Lee Murdoch, who is a musical historian of the Great Lakes. And he tells stories through music of the Great Lakes lore.
More of the kind of music that was in the time frame?
He's written himself.
And then he puts his words to it that tell an actual story about the Great Lakes lore, as you put it.
He's uncovered a boundless body of music and stories of the Great Lakes, and there's an amazing timelessness in this music. Great Lakes songs are made of hard work, hard living, ships that go down, and ships that come in. He's noted as a fluent instrumentalist, and his music influences a span of about 15 years, or 15 generations, combining ragtime, Irish, blues, and folk styles with his flair for storytelling in the songs. He will also be entertaining following our dinner.
And music was a big part of the lighthouse keepers' lives, because there wasn't a lot of whole entertainment out there, and you had to make your own. Mm-hmm. And maybe you had a gramophone after Edison made it, but before that it was make your own music and have something to listen to and enjoy.
He's also made 20 CDs, and those will be available also for sale during the day.
Terrific.
One of the stories that he tells actually is the story of Dennis Hale's survival. So he will actually, through his story and his music, do the introduction of Dennis Hale in the evening for the evening program.
And he will be later in the evening a survivor of the Morrell.
Yes.
So he will have a big tale to tell about the Great Lakes there. But after Mr. Murdoch.
Then we have Terry Pepper. Terry Pepper is the director of the Great Lakes Lighthouse Keepers Association, a renowned lighthouse historian. If you ask Terry a question about any Michigan lighthouse and he can't answer it, he will be able to direct you to that. Terry presently does guided tours for Shepler's out of Mackinac City. And they're phenomenal, 3-, 4-, 6-hour boat trips that they take you around the northern part of Michigan lights and tell the history about the lights. But Terry's going to be on hand.
His presentation's a little longer.
It's called Bombed But Not Forgotten, and he's going to tell the story of the Waukesha's lighthouse. So
that and is when we say bombed, was it damaged?
Well, you know, you are going to have to find that out.
Okay, all right.
You have to come.
I thought maybe it was a drunken lighthouse keeper. I don't know.
not bombed in that sense. So he will tell that story of the Waukesha's lighthouse, which is truly an amazing lighthouse that sits in the Straits of Mackinac. So
right in the middle of a whole lot of traffic and
a whole lot of
weather.
Weather so. And crazy conditions, yes, when things change. Okay. Now, I guess I should ask, time is tight on these people. Is there any question or answer period available, or should you do that at their tables?
No, within that time frame that we have given all of them, that has worked in the question and the answer time. But more than likely, if you want a lot of information, then that's when you'll need to ask them at the table that they have set up for them.
Okay.
But a good problem to have is we have a lot of presenters that actually asked to come because they want to be a part of this historical event. So we told them, okay, we only have so much time, guys. So, and they're going to be respectful of it.
These guys know how to talk. That has been their, you know, they can write, they can talk, they can sing, some of them. And they have a lot to get out. And sometimes cropping it down is difficult.
Yes, it is.
But after Mr. Pepper, then you're going to have a dinner, I understand, because you just can't keep going. You got to feed the people a little bit.
We have a catered dinner planned beginning at 5:30. It will be catered by the Pasta House from Kindy. And that will start with hors d'oeuvres at 5:30. And the dinner menu is smoked salmon and cheeses and fresh fruits for the hors d'oeuvres, followed by the entree of prime rib, choice prime rib, and cheesy lobster cavatappi and a Parisian salad. And green beans, almondine, sourdough bread, and birthday cake for everyone.
Now, when you're getting something catered, you need to know how many are coming. Do you need people to let you know they're coming, that they're going to want a dinner?
We do.
Yes, our pre-sales are going to be out into the community, and they are also available online.
Because they have to know how much to cook.
Correct.
Because, and they don't want a lot of leftovers when you're talking lobster and stuff.
However, that's true. However, talking with Kevin Wiley, Kevin knows that it's going to be a very well-attended event, and he is planning. He's planning ahead. He's a pretty plan-ahead kind of a guy. And
are you going to have some available that day of? Because people may not have seen it, or do you have to pre-register for this?
Well, it'll depend. We are going to prepare enough food for approximately 210 people, and then so we will sell till then.
Okay.
So but this is going to be a type of dinner where you're going to be able to sit down, relax, enjoy. Along with the dinner, when you purchase your dinner ticket, you're going to get a commemorative glass. And
is this all under the tent still?
Yes, all under the tent.
Because you have to worry about rain or shine. I mean, well, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to jinx you.
No.
I'm not trying to jinx you.
We have
but
sights
you have to
for
worry.
The tent. We have lights inside, so we'll be fine. So dress accordingly for the weather.
Because anyone who's been in a lighthouse knows they're there for bad weather.
And you
you don't need the thing.
And for those who do not want to come to the catered dinner, McDonald's will have their food wagon on site during the whole day and we'll be serving hot dogs and brats from Sandman's from 11 until 7 in the evening.
And there are lots of nice places to eat in Harbor Beach,
yes,
anyway, if you want to stroll uptown and use one of those restaurants and eateries.
Absolutely.
You're welcome to do so and get back down in time for the rest of the program. But you mentioned the cake.
Yes.
And I think we need to talk about this cake because it sounds like it's going to be a doozy.
The birthday cake is a special cake. Shelley, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Marge Booms, a Harbor Beach woman, has been actually working on creating this design for several months and is more than up to this challenge. It's going to be a three-dimensional lighthouse. Some of it will, the top part, because of the intricacy of the gallery level and the lantern room, will be actually done out of styrofoam, fabricated out of styrofoam, but...
And covered with fondant.
And right. And so...
So
but
you
it's
don't
going
eat the
to
styrofoam,
be,
is
right,
what you're
no.
telling me. Nobody
so
gets the top.
No. It'll be approximately 20 inches in height, and then it'll be sitting on a base, which the lighthouse sits on the base and on its crib. And then she said, I just can't make the lighthouse without that break wall. So she's actually including the break wall. And
well,
then
you have that many people there. You got to make sure there's
right,
cake.
Right, there's enough cake. And then she's creating the water with cupcakes. So
I
when we say, yes, the catered dinner people obviously will be getting cake as part of their dinner, but we will have enough cake so that any other people who have come for the evening program, and they're welcome to come, we will have special seating for them. They'll also get birthday cake free of charge. So,
are members of the Preservation Association going to be the ones to cut the cake?
No, actually, Marge is going to be on hand to cut and serve the cake.
I thought it'd be like a wedding, you know, everybody's grab the knife and make the initial cut.
No, I don't think we'll have any feeding of the bride and the groom that night.
And no pushing it in the face, people.
No,
let's not do that.
So, nope. And I do have to say, on our food vendor that we have for McDonald's that is coming over, and also for our meals and everything, so that
and
this can
McDonald's
be...
McDonald's Food and Family Center.
Right, correct. McDonald's Food. Yes, thanks.
We don't want to get the
sorry,
mix up with the
McDonald's
others.
McDonald's Food and Family.
Because Lowell does a lot for the community throughout the area.
He certainly does. But we are going to be having our food available at the cost of the product, our cost, so that if you have a family and you want to bring all the family down, you're not going to have to run up to the ATM.
Take out a loan.
Right. Take out a loan to feed them. So everything is going to be extremely reasonably priced, and so that you can come down and just enjoy this great event. So it is not a fundraiser by any means for us. Matter of fact, if this would be a good time, we have numerous sponsors that have generously given donations to us to make this happen. So
before we get to that, I also wanted to mention that in addition to the McDonald's Food and Family wagon that will be there, the Lions Club will have their wagon for the cart races, so they will have food available during the time of the cart races.
Earlier in the day.
Yes.
Okay.
But we have generous sponsors. The City of Harbor Beach, Dow AgriSciences, Harbor Beach Agency, H&R Block, and Townley Business Services, Harbor Beach Chamber of Commerce, Harbor Beach Resort, Harbor Drug, the William Billy Rands family of the resort, Concerned Home Healthcare, Friends of the Library, Harbor Beach Lions Club, Robert Pangman, who is a former resident of Harbor Beach, and Harbor Beach residents will know Bob Pangman. Subway, Randy and Angie Weber, Vardy's Automotive Supply, American Legion Post 197, Classy Threads, Harbor Beach Community Schools, Harbor Beach Women's Club, New Times Print, Patty's Barbershop and Tanning Salon, State Street Bed and Breakfast, and Youth for Christ organization of the Huron County. So a lot of generous people who have made this possible so that it's... a break-even event for the lighthouse,
and they know it's good for the community. That you know, it brings people to town, especially this type of event, which will bring people who are into lighthouses and may not have been to Harbor Beach. Just show them what we have and how great a view you can have right from the beach there and from the marina and every place else of the lighthouse.
And Thumb Electric also donates the gas for the grill for grilling the brats and the hot dogs.
Oh, there you go.
Wonderful.
Now, after dinner comes some speakers as well.
Speakers as well. Mayor Gary Booms will start the evening out, and our Lighthouse Preservation Society folks will also talk.
Give a little overview on what they've done at the place.
Absolutely. And at that time is when we'll have our quilt raffle, and we're going to have another sweepstakes opportunity that you'll be able to take part in during the day. And at that time, it's similar to a 50-50, only it involves lighthouses. So that'll go on during the day. And then Lee Murdoch will entertain us once again with his music. And then Dennis Hale, the sole survivor of the sinking of the Daniel J. Morrell, will be there.
Out in Lake Huron, nearby.
Mm-hmm. Nearby, where it sank in November of 1966. So it's not that long ago.
Not for some of us. There are people who will say, you know, I wasn't even born yet, or, you know, it's like, you know, okay, it's history. Enjoy it.
So Dennis will speak of the pain that he went through during those 30-foot seas and 44-degree water, being hit by 65-mile-an-hour winds, to be the only person to have survived that.
And that's
incident.
Also painful, to be the only one of all your friends and coworkers that survived.
And Dennis right now is, he wanted me to share that he will be there. For those of you who know Dennis, he's dealing with some health issues, but Dennis will be there. So he said, I'm going to be at this event. So,
at least we know it's not seasickness.
No.
He knows how to handle that.
And Annette Sweet will be playing the dulcimer during that time as well.
Excellent.
And she's a member of the Preservation Society, so...
And then you're going to have a group picture taken. Who's all in the group?
We are. Whomever is there will be in the group. We're going to have a photographer. Grace Benecki is going to be on hand to take a wide-angle lens shot. She's going to go up in a bucket truck so that we can have a big view, along with Bob Kegris will be there to video the whole thing. So everybody will be... in a large group community picture, a historical event, and then after which time, we will herd everybody out to the end of the pier for...
the running of the lemmings?
No. It will be the highlight of the evening. There will be a U.S. Coast Guard ceremony on the pier, and the replica acrylic Fourth Order Fresnel lens will be lit, and it will become a private aid to navigation, lighting the harbor of Harbor Beach and as far out as 15 miles into Lake Huron. And this will be the first time in 30 years that there will be a light at the top of our Harbor Beach Lighthouse.
That is exactly the way it was 100 years ago.
Exactly, other than this is made of acrylic.
I mean, the pattern will be the same, the speed of it will be the same. All of these things are coming back.
Yep, the pattern for the Harbor Beach light was and will be one red, four blanks, one white, four blanks, one red, and will continue to rotate.
And
when
that
she
was
speaks
the code.
Of one, it's 1 second.
1 second.
And so that was the code to the freighters and the ships out there, that they knew which lighthouse they were looking at, because... they all look the same if they're just a white light rotating.
Very true.
They have to have something to differentiate this from Point O'Barks, from Port Sanilac, so they know how far up the coast they are, because they didn't have GPS. They didn't have all the modern amenities we have now to pinpoint exactly where you're at. They were doing it by the stars and seat of their pants.
Right. And we will have members from the Saginaw Coast Guard in full dress to take part in the celebration, as well as members from the Harbor Beach Coast Guard to have the Harbor Beach Lighthouse become the private aid to navigation.
Terrific. Back to where it was.
Yes.
What it should have always been. It's been dark a while because the Coast Guard has a light different place on the break wall at this point.
Yeah, for a few years it had a little flashing white LED light in it, which the Coast Guard removed from the lighthouse actually 3 years ago and put on the break wall. But
that was not as true to history as
correct.
What will be happening now.
In our Preservation Society, we really have to give them a huge amount of credit. They have done a phenomenal job of restoring our lighthouse. It's it's truly a gem out in that lake.
Tours are not just that weekend. They're going on through the summer.
Yes.
If you aren't going to be up necessarily for this event, you can still go out and see the lighthouse and the restoration work and all the furnishings and period pieces they have inside.
Absolutely.
They're on Saturdays, I believe.
Yes. Saturdays generally from 10 to 1, but with with extended hours this week for Maritime Festival until 3, and next week until 4.
Because of the
celebration. But our usual time is 10 to 1 with the last boat leaving the marina at 12:20.
And the marina is the place to be to go on the tours.
Yes.
There's a tiny little gift shop there as well. I understand that the Lighthouse
World's
Association.
World's smallest gift shop.
Tiny but mighty.
Superman tries to change in there every once in a while, I had heard.
I think he'd be like a bull in a china shop.
Really? Tight and that small?
It is tight and small. Lots of breakables.
Well, I'm sure he's able to do it. But that's where people need to be, and they can go online and they can make their reservations for a particular day so they know that they can count on being able to go.
A particular time frame.
So they know they can go out and you'll be waiting for them.
Yes.
Well, terrific. Sounds like you've got a whole plan for the whole day, and people need to block that time off for the things they want to hear. This schedule is available on your website.
Yes, it is, and is going to be hitting newspapers this week. So
people can see what's happening, the time frames. If there's particular things they want to make sure they're around for, they can be there.
For instance, like the quilts, how they can register and drop their quilts off beforehand is all online. All information for any of the different components is all online.
Terrific. And they should go to what site?
HarborBeachLighthouse.org.
HarborBeachLighthouse.org or Harbor Beach Lighthouse Facebook.
Yes.
You're on Facebook as well.
Yes,
so people can get a little more on, say, maybe some of the background of all the things that have been going on in the past as you go through the timeline.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you coming out today. I hope you get a great turnout. I hope you get great weather. That's the first thing I hope you
first
get.
First thing is the weather.
Is the weather, because the turnout will happen with an event like this. There are so many people who just live and breathe lighthouses. They go around the whole state trying to see if they can get to every one of them, and some of them aren't accessible, like ours are. And they are sometimes just looking at them from shore, but they can get a first-hand view and get a whole lot of history on the lighthouse and lighthouses in general through the course of the day.
Yes, they can.
Appreciate you stopping by, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Again, the 130th birthday celebration of the Harbor Beach Lighthouse, July 18th. It's a Saturday. It's an all-day event at Lincoln Park Beach. It's on Trescott Street, but you can't use that at the beginning because they have the downhill races for the carts. So just watch for the signs in town. They'll direct you to where to park, and you can take part in all the activities that they have.
Thanks. All those activities are for free, except for the food part. Well,
food does cost. Anyone nowadays knows food costs.
Food does cost.
Our guests today on the program have been Shelley Bomer and Heather Leggetts from the Harbor Beach Lighthouse Preservation Society. They are members of that, and they are talking about the event again, July 18th. I haven't get it out yet at Lincoln Park, and be on hand. You can go to their websites, get all the details as to who's speaking and when. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.